today, 1 year ago, in Sri Vrindavan Dham, my beloved disciple, Madhulila Devi Dasi, left her body. By Krishna's arrangement, I was present at that moment, along with many other Vaishnavas, chanting the holy names of the Lord to a sister at that time. And I've written one book called Brajalila, which a few of you have read. I don't think that most of you have had the opportunity to read this book yet, but it is available. I wasn't able to bring so many copies, so hopefully those of you who have can share the book with others. And it would take several hours to read the whole book about the life and the departure of Brajalila Dasi. So today I would just like to concentrate on reading one of the appendix to the book, which is the realization of the different devotees who were either personally present when Brajalila left, or were in Vrindavan at that time, so that we can appreciate this extraordinary pastime. Now more and more we're seeing that members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are leaving their bodies. Many devotees have grown old, and the time of their departure is imminent, or it has taken place. Others have left their bodies due to accident or to disease. And we can look to this pastime of Brajalila Dasi leaving her body as something very exemplary for all of us. Actually, the moment of death is, in one sense, the most significant moment of our life, in the sense that we are preparing our entire life for that moment, because that moment determines our final destination. Our goal in Krishna consciousness is nothing less than, by the mercy of our spiritual master, to go back home, back to Godhead, to assist eternally in the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. So a devotee's life is an intense endeavor, intense effort to become, to serve and to become qualified for that ultimate destination. So Brajalila was fortunate in the sense that she knew that she was going to die. The illusion of material life, just as Maharaj Yudhishthira answered the question to Yamaraj, what is the most wonderful thing? He said the most wonderful thing is that at every moment living entities are going to the kingdom of death, but I do not think that I am going to go. So bewildered by the false hope of happiness in this world, we don't actually prepare for that inevitable moment when we will leave this body, and we don't seriously take up the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. But Brajalila, she, having leukemia from a young age, she knew that her departure was imminent, that it was not too far away. So she showed a very good example to all of us, how she became disconcerned with anything that did not have to do with Krishna consciousness. Yesterday we were talking about mixed devotees, like demigods, or like ourselves at our stage of devotional service, where we harbor material desires while at the same time cultivating devotional service. We're devotees, but still we have an interest in this world. We still think that somehow or other we can fulfill our desires by engaging in material activity. But Brajalila, having this leukemia and knowing that death was just around the corner, she gradually became very disinterested in anything which did not have to do with her becoming Krishna conscious. And towards the end, as I've seen in many cases of devotees who are about to leave their bodies, the whole process of Krishna consciousness accelerates to a great degree. Just like with Mother Archavigraha. Mother Archavigraha was a sort of hero for Brajalila because they were both present in Vrindavan at the same time. And Brajalila, being so serious about her Krishna consciousness and so much intensely desiring to go back home, back to Godhead, to intensely love Krishna. She once said, some devotees are intensely desiring to become good pujaris. Some devotees are cultivating the intense desire to be good book distributors. But at this last stage of my life, I am intensely desiring to develop my love for Krishna under the order of my spiritual master, so that I can satisfy him by going back to Godhead. Because I instructed her to set a good example. So she saw her death as a way of fulfilling the instruction of her spiritual master to go back to the spiritual world. There's nothing that the spiritual master desires more than to see his disciple progress in Krishna consciousness. If the disciple can offer the spiritual master any gift, it is that they can successfully complete the course of Krishna consciousness under his guidance and go back home, back to the spiritual world. So Brajalila Dasi, she was taking every opportunity to prepare herself in that way. She saw her misfortune as a chance to become more dependent on Krishna, and if she had the good fortune of being in the association of advanced devotees, she would always inquire from them how to prepare herself. Every moment was fixed on this goal. So she was living in Vrindavan at the same time that Archavigraha was leaving her body. So they became very good friends, very close friends, and of course His Holiness Giriraj Swami was there instructing Archavigraha in the same way, how to leave her body in full Krishna consciousness. So in that sense, I think Brajalila saw that Archavigraha was ahead of her, and as any devotee does in Krishna consciousness, he takes shelter of advanced devotees. One who's made more progress than ourselves, we humbly inquire from that devotee how they got to that point, so that we can also follow in their illustrious footsteps. So Mother Archavigraha had also come to this point of just renouncing everything that was not connected with her becoming intensely attached to Krishna. I remember when I saw Mother Archavigraha a few months before her passing away, I was amazed at her renunciation and devotion. And she'd shaved her head, she was wearing white sari, and she'd become very thin and frail. The renunciation aspect was there, and she was also intensely preparing by hearing and chanting about Krishna and begging the mercy of her spiritual master. So when she actually left her body, Brajalila was trying to understand that particular moment and how she prepared herself like that. And she considered Mother Archavigraha to be very fortunate because her spiritual master was personally present by her side. I think that a disciple can think of no greater benediction in this world than to have the spiritual master personally present at that final test. So Mother Archavigraha, being such a sincere devotee, she had that opportunity. So Brajalila also, her departure was not far away, she knew that, so she was also hoping that her spiritual master would be present. And when the inevitable time came, some days before she were actually going to leave, then she requested that I come to Vrindavan. And I was very busy at that time. I had a preaching festival in Poland. And I was between the two of staying and preaching to the conditioned souls and or going and helping Vajralila. But her intense devotion to me brought out my love and concern for her, because we were exchanging faxes. She couldn't actually send the fax, but others were sending her feelings and sentiments. So finally, with that and also some other indications from Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, I actually went to Vrindavan and was able to be there to help her. So I was very proud that she left her body in full Krishna consciousness. It's not an easy thing. We should not think it's an easy thing, but she was able to do it because she prepared herself so well. And that preparation is necessary. So the first part of this book actually discusses the preparation, and therefore it's so significant. There's a saying that practice makes perfect. You can only become expert at something if you actually practice it. It's very rare that an individual can just spontaneously take up something and be good at it. And certainly we all know that we need to intensely practice Krishna consciousness in order to be prepared for the moment of death. So the first part of the book, or three quarters of the book, is just that, showing how she went to Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is the perfect place to live and Vrindavan is the perfect place to die. It's the perfect place to live because it is the spiritual world and one is always immersed in thoughts of Krishna, which is the goal of Krishna consciousness, actually. And it's the perfect place to die because, for the same reason, that one can fully remember yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajityanta kalevaram. One can be fully absorbed in the moment of the Lord, in the Lord at the moment of death. So she did like that. So it would be very difficult for me now to actually read about her departure. I don't think I could actually do it, because there exists a very deep and intense relationship between spiritual master and disciple. And I sometimes say that at the moment of initiation, the disciple takes vows to the spiritual master to refrain from all sinful activity and engage in the positive activity of Krishna consciousness, chanting 16 rounds and taking up service. But the spiritual master also, in a sense, he's also taking a vow at the moment of initiation, because Prabhupada said that the spiritual master is prepared to come back to this world if the disciple is not successful in achieving full Krishna consciousness. If the disciple has to take birth, then the spiritual master will come back again to deliver that disciple. So the commitment is very deep on the part of the guru. He doesn't take, just as the disciple does not take his service to the guru lightly, so the guru does not take his service to the disciple lightly either. Actually, he's serving the disciple in the sense that he's giving knowledge, he's giving chastisement, he's giving encouragement. He's actually the servant of the disciple in that sense. So there's a very strong commitment on the side of the spiritual master as well. So when the spiritual master sees the disciple so sincerely takes up the instruction and is successful, then the spiritual master is so satisfied. It's very deep satisfaction. There's no real comparison in the material world. One time Prabhupada tried to compare the love of the residents of the spiritual world for Krishna like the love of the love of a mother for its child. It's almost selfless. So he said the closest thing in the material world is the love of the spiritual world is the love of a mother for her child. She'll do anything for that child. So when that child grows up and is successful, then that gives some satisfaction to the parents. After all that work of raising, of delivering, conceiving, caring, delivering, educating, caring for, if the child actually becomes normal and successful, then
there's a type of satisfaction. Of course, it's mundane, but so in the pure way also, when the spiritual master, who's taken great pain and great effort to conceive, to carry, to deliver, to instruct, to educate that disciple, and the disciple actually imbibes those teachings and takes them to heart and gives up material attachment and gives up sense gratification, becomes selfless, and takes up devotional service to the Lord and assists the spiritual master in his mission and completes the course of Krishna consciousness by developing love of God and going to the spiritual world. There's so much satisfaction in that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati once said, if I could, all my work, he said, all my, everything I've done, this great mission which I've established in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, his Gaudiya Math, he said, of all that, I would consider everything to be a success if just one of my disciples became a pure devotee of the Lord. He said, it takes gallons of blood to make a conditioned soul into a devotee. So he said, I would consider the whole mission, my whole life successful, with just one person that could become a pure devotee of the Lord. So for me, it's a great... I'm not very qualified, but by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I was able to help this young girl achieve such an exalted state of Krishna consciousness. There's no doubt. She was so renounced, and why? Not just for the desire to become freed from, you know, material life, to achieve liberation, but her renunciation was actually based on an intense, very intense desire to love Krishna. And sometimes in the midst of our various activities and services and so forth, and we sometimes forget the real focus of Krishna consciousness, which is to develop love for the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. This will be the result of all our intense service. But she, knowing she was going to die and she could not do anything else really with her frail body, she intensely concentrated on this love for Krishna. It was her desire. So when she requested that she could go to Vrindavan, then I agreed. And in Vrindavan, she took full advantage of the association of the devotees there and the holy places, and this was her constant meditation. And therefore, because she was so sincere in that endeavor, Krishna arranged for her to have, you know, the association of her spiritual master and many wonderful Vaishnavas and Kirtan and Radha Kund water, and her Govardhan Shila was before her vision, and pictures of Radha Shama Sundar. Krishna says, all of them as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So what is the real reward that Krishna gives his devotee? It could be nothing material, because we're trying to give up that which is material because it's an obstacle to our love for Krishna. So he doesn't bless his sincere devotee with anything material, which could be an obstacle, which could cause that devotee to become entangled. He only gives the opportunities for pure devotional service. This is how he reciprocates. He gives us the chance, somehow or other, to attain his lotus feet, be it fortune or misfortune. If we can somehow attain Krishna's lotus feet, that is the greatest benediction. So Krishna reciprocated with Brajalila's intense desire to love him by giving her this opportunity at her final moments to be in such, you know, auspicious surroundings. We should see it like that. So she departed on this day. It was in the afternoon sometime, around between two and three in the afternoon she departed. And I'll just read a little bit here from the realizations of the devotees, because that is how we understand Krishna consciousness, is through the realizations of advanced devotees, by hearing from them. Sadhusanga, sadhusanga, savashastukhoi, lavamatra, sadhusanga, savasadhuhoi. But a little association with the devotees can give us a deep understanding of Krishna consciousness. And the best way we can understand, the best way of associating with devotees is through hearing. That is the way we understand. Prabhupada said, you can understand a Vaishnava when he speaks. what are his realizations in Krishna consciousness. So there are so many wonderful devotees, senior devotees, exalted devotees who were present that day. And after Vrajalila had left, I wanted to capture that moment because it was a very intense moment in my life. You know, a very intense moment in my life. In many ways, Vrajalila was instructing me as well. Just like Prabhupada says in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj that if the disciple is very advanced, he or she can even deliver the guru. So these disciples are coming. Prabhupada said that the most advanced devotees will come later. So these disciples are coming now, and those of us who started Krishna consciousness in the beginning, we were just the burnt remnants of Kali Yuga. Prabhupada had no one else to really help him begin this movement, so somehow he collected a few of us who really didn't have any qualifications, and he gave some mercy, and you know, in his absence we're trying to carry on, be his representatives. But there are devotees who are actually taking birth in this movement, because this movement is so advanced now. To take birth in this movement means you can finish up your Krishna consciousness. So there are exalted souls who are taking birth in this movement and taking shelter of, you know, spiritual masters. And they're very advanced souls. They just need a little more of experience in this material world to give it up, and some more association with Srila Prabhupada's teachings and way of life, and they can go back home, back to Godhead. So these are some of the realizations of devotees who were present when she left. We can read them. Of course, there may be a little repetition here, but because it was one single event, so we cannot in any way get around the repetition. But if something is transcendental, it's beneficial to hear it again and again, because it penetrates into our hearts and illuminates us with transcendental knowledge. So there's nothing wrong with hearing something that a singular event or a particular point in philosophy again and again and again and again and again and again. We shouldn't hesitate to hear transcendental knowledge or transcendental events, even if we heard about them many times, because they're transcendental, and the effect is that they wake up our sleeping souls. So again, I don't want to read the whole book because it would take too long, but I'll just read a few of the realizations, and if we have time, we'll also read some of Vrajalila's diary, and then you can appreciate what, you know, how intensely she endeavored and therefore received Krishna's mercy and was successful and therefore is a great example for all of us. And after this reading, there will be a feast this morning, which has been sponsored by Srinathji Prabhu and family, in honor of Vrajalila. And you try to think of her today, this wonderful pastime, and that will also prepare you. The following are excerpts from letters to Indradyumna Maharaj after Vrajalila's departure, His Holiness Giriraj Swami, who was present. Vrajalila's name is so appropriate. When she knew she was going to die, she wanted only to be absorbed in Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes and pray for service. Sri Vrindavan is the best place in the universe because Krishna's pastimes are eternally manifest here. Although we may not be able to see his pastimes, we can feel the presence of Krishna and his devotees and pray for their mercy. Every particle of dust, every tree, every creature, the Jamuna River, Govardhan Hill, and all the places of Krishna's pastimes are full of love for Krishna and can give love for him. In Vrindavan there is no envy. Because Vrajalila had no desire for sense gratification, she had no envy. She was kind to all. Without envy or malice, she was ready to hear from any sincere devotee who could help her remember Krishna. Although Vrajalila had all facility to advance in Krishna consciousness and was trying to take full advantage of the association and mercy offered by the devotees, she could not feel fully satisfied until you came. When she heard you might not come, she cried for hours. Her last desire was to see you, hear Krishna's name from you, and give up her body in your auspicious presence. Finally, you came and fulfilled her desires. Then she left. I prayed to become pure and simple like Brajalila. I prayed to become offenseless as she was. I prayed to be open to all sincere devotees as she was. I pray to remember and appreciate her spiritual master like her, and I pray that I may please her by my service. When we preach, we can remember Brajalila. Every soul potentially is like her. We preach to hundreds of people in the hope that one may become like her. The beginning may be a house or a hall program, a harinam, a book, or a piece of prasadam, but the conclusion may be the same. Even answering the most basic questions may help some sincere soul ultimately reach the same destination. So when we preach, we can think of her. When a Vaishnava departs, we feel simultaneously happy and sad, as Srila Prabhupada said. We feel happy because the devotee has gone to Krishna, and sorry because we will miss the devotee's association. But I think that as we approach the actual perfection of Krishna consciousness, we realize that Brajalila is always with us as a very dear disciple, friend, and well-wisher, and thus the sorrow of separation will transform into the happiness of association. Manasi Ganga Dasi. This week has been intense and ecstatic at the same time. After you gave Vaishnavi Dasi and I the instruction to give up all of their engagements and just help Gandharvika Girdhari Dasi to take care of Brajalila, we were both there most of the time. I took the responsibility of staying awake all night in case Brajalila's condition worsened or she needed something. I used to come home to sleep just for a few hours during the day and then go back and help. She was in so much pain at the time. We used to have to massage her and fan her and talk to her. It was very difficult because we couldn't understand what she needed. She was so gentle though. Right until the end, if she asked for something and we got it for her, she would be very grateful. At one point, when we thought you weren't coming, Gandharvika didn't want Brajalila to see me. Brajalila knew I had been in contact with you, and every time she saw me, she wanted to know if I had spoken with you and what you had said. Then we heard that you were coming, but her condition was getting worse daily. All the devotees began to pray that she would stay until you came. She had a very strong desire because she had to stay 12 hours one night without oxygen. We didn't think she would make it, and everyone is convinced that it was her intense desire to see you that kept her alive that night. We kept telling her to hold on that you were coming. It was wonderful when you walked in the door that morning. I think she knew that you had come to take her home. I think she was struggling to stay alive because she so badly wanted to see you. Then when you came, she knew everything was all right and she could go, so she went the same day. You were writing something on one side of her bed. Gandharvika and I were on the other side. I was fanning her, and Gandharvika was feeding her some sweet milk. Then she noticed that Brajalila could not open her mouth. Her teeth seemed to be locked, and she began to shake. It was a bad sign, and we immediately told you. You instantly stopped what you were doing and began kirtan. I don't know how long that kirtan went on. I know devotees were coming into the room, but I didn't notice who they were. Brajalila was breathing very heavily and with difficulty. You and Gandharvika were kneeling on either side of the bed, and I was sitting next to Gandharvika. Someone gave me pictures of Radha Shyamasundara to show her. Time seemed to stand still, and it was just a little world of your divine grace, Gandharvika, Brajalila, and myself. I was watching Brajalila's face the whole time. She was staring at the pictures of Radha Shyamasundara and listening all the time as you were instructing her to chant in her mind, to hear the holy name, to see how beautiful Krishna is. At one stage, I think her right eye began to fail. I noticed that it clouded over and I couldn't see a distinct separation between the pupil and the iris of her eye. I think it may have gone, but her left eye was clear until the end. She seemed to be listening to you the whole time. In the beginning, she looked frightened, but towards the end, when I think she knew that she was definitely leaving her body, she didn't seem afraid anymore. I will never forget the last 5 minutes. It was clear she was about to leave. She started taking very deep breaths. We knew she was going. Everyone began chanting in unison. Her eyes were rolling, so I put the photos down and put my hands on her shoulders, and I began screaming the holy name as loud as I could. I noticed you were also chanting loudly. The kirtan was tumultuous. Then we thought she left. Someone put tulsi in her mouth. But then at the same time, you and I both noticed her neck was moving. We continued to chant very loudly, but it took only about another 30 seconds. She took one final breath, and I think I know the moment when she left. I saw her pupils fully dilated. I knew for sure she was gone. Then I saw Gandharvika falling. I managed to catch her before she hit the ground. I was holding her tightly in my arms. When I looked up, I saw you were kneeling at the side of the bed, crying. It is the first time I've experienced death. Before, it was a secret, a mystical thing, and I was always afraid of it. But after witnessing Brajalila leave, I'm not afraid anymore. As long as devotees are with someone to help them remember Krishna when they leave, I'm sure they are safe. I feel that you took Brajalila home to the spiritual sky. Brajalila was lamenting before she knew that you were coming. One day she asked me to bring her all the letters I had received from you, and I read them to her. She was surprised at how many letters I had, because I have received quite a few from you through the years and have kept them all. She was so happy to listen to all of them. She told me she received only one letter from you. But after I saw your reaction when she left, after I saw how much you care, I understood so much better the relationship between spiritual master and disciple. It is a spiritual relationship. The physical presence and association are important, but insignificant compared with the deep bond of spiritual association through service and meditation. I saw how much love you had for her, and that is what made me cry. You were crying out of separation for a beloved spiritual daughter, and I was crying because I never knew how much you cared for your disciples. So that is my description and realizations of my very special god sister leaving her body. I'm actually deeply lamenting now, because I don't think that I will ever be able to please you as much as Brajalila and Gandharvika Giridhari pleased you. Hopefully by taking Gandharvika's association, I may be able to learn something from her. Kumari Kanta Devi Dasi. I was fortunate to have some association with your dear disciple, Brajalila Dasi, during the last few days of her life here in Vrindavan. I was amazed to see her courage and determination, her clarity of thought, and her great love for you. I saw that her attachment for you was so intense and her faith in you and your instructions so deep that Krishna personally arranged for you to travel thousands of miles to be with her at the hour of her passing away. She was simply waiting for you to come. Witnessing her love and faith in Guru and your tremendous love for your disciple has given me hope and inspiration. We are seeing disciples of ISKCON Gurus becoming pure and quitting their bodies in full Krishna consciousness. We are witnessing wonderfully sweet personal dealings of cooperation between devotees in helping one another at that great time of need. And we are seeing the sincerity and dedication of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who are lovingly responsible in the duty of delivering their disciples. Thank you for allowing us to share these precious moments. I feel purified in the association of your disciples. Mahamaya Devi Dasi. You've asked for my realizations, having been present when Brajalila Dasi left her body. First of all, I am marveling at Srila Prabhupada's mercy that any of us even know of Vrindavan Dham. What to speak of the knowledge that the most auspicious way to leave this material world is chanting the holy names in the association of the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. It is Srila Prabhupada's glory that Brajalila Prabhu left her body in such an auspicious way. Somehow or other, I happened to be allowed to give my support and chant the holy names during her last hour in this world. I understood that even though your good self or spiritual master was there, as well as other Vaishnavas, she still had to fly her own airplane. We could encourage and chant the holy names so that she could hear, but ultimately she had to struggle with the release of the soul from the body. We could do only so much as to help her, but we couldn't experience what she had to go through. However, it's more clear to me now that my time and everyone's time will come. Since then, I've been praying to be allowed to leave my body in Vrindavan, surrounded by devotees chanting the holy names also. Rajalila Prabhu was so fortunate. I can't claim to have had a personal relationship with her. My role is simply supportive. I chanted in her room a few times during the week she died. One particularly sweet kirtan led by Gandharvaki Devi Dasi, a disciple of Madhusevita Prabhu, was going on when Bhajalila learned that you would come to Vrindavan to see her. Then on October 13th, I happened to pass by her room. I decided to offer my respects. When inside, I was asked to play the kartals. At first, I said I couldn't stay long because I had a meeting to attend. Then I thought that being in her room was more important and that the devotees at the meeting would understand, which of course they did. So I felt privileged to witness and participate in the experience of Bhajalila leaving this world. I wonder who this great soul actually is to be so fortunate as to have her leave her body in the way she did. After Bhajalila Prabhu left, I was looking at those of us stuck in the material world, and I was thinking how we are not aware how temporary life is. Now that a few days have passed, I'm already back in my usual frame of mind, and therefore I know that the lessons I've learned have not been fully realized. Nonetheless, it was an unforgettable experience. I'd also like to say that I was moved by your kindness to your disciple to leave your busy preaching schedule to come all the way to Vrindavan to see her. You were obviously giving her every ounce of your mercy in her last moments with no thought of your own comfort. And finally, I haven't mentioned how it was that Bhajalila Prabhu was able to choose the time she wanted to leave her body and wait for your arrival before departing. Thank you for allowing me to share my meager realizations. Parvati Dasi. I entered Bhajalila's room the afternoon she was to pass away. I had a good vantage point to see your incredible mercy. You were down on your hands and knees, positioned to chant in Bhajalila's right ear, while Gandharvika chanted in the other. In between mantras, you issued instructions to Bhaja. I can say with conviction that she was lucid throughout every moment of the experience right to the end. I kept thinking how fortunate she was to have her spiritual master present before her to personally fortify her confidence. Your main instruction was to keep chanting. Your kirtan was so uplifting, I can't remember the last time it became so deeply affected. All the devotees in the room became enchanted in the sublime with the sublime chanting of the holy name. There was nothing more than your chanting Hari Nam and Gandharvika Giridhari holding the Govardhan Shila in front of Braj's vision. The whole room was uplifted and surcharged. I helped pour Radhakund water onto the cotton for Gandharvika to drip into Braj's mouth, then into your hand to drench and smear on Braj's head. As Braj's breathing became extraordinarily labored, your chanting lifted every one of us in the room to an unbelievable transcendental peak. That chanting soared higher and higher and visibly lifted Bhajalila right out of her body. Suddenly, her heavy convulsive breathing stopped, and I grabbed for the cotton soaked in Radhakund water and squeezed it into her mouth. I also put a tulsi leaf into her mouth. It fell out, and Nandala pushed another one in. Then there was one last twitch of Bhaja's forefinger, a last attempt at breath within her throat, and then she was carried away by the Maha Mantra. Rohini Nandana Das. When I first saw Bhajalila Prabhu a few days ago, I felt sorry to see a 19-year-old girl, practically a child, in such a plight. Thus, as I executed her request of reading to her, I felt awed and intensely enlivened by her association. Indeed, whenever I had a spare moment, I felt drawn to visit her. I was able to see a devotee finishing up her sojourn of billions of births and deaths. Because she had the inestimable good fortune to die in Vrindavan and be aware that death was upon her, she prepared herself moment by moment. She knew exactly what she wanted and what she needed. I was struck by her simplicity and honesty, by her courage as she mastered her fear. It was wonderful the way she left her body in full Krishna consciousness. You were reassuring her, coaching her, and chanting Hare Krishna. I won't forget her final glance at you, as if to ask, "Am I doing okay?" A few moments before she died. Certainly she passed a stringent test with grade A1. During these events, my reoccurring thought has been how alike birth and death are. Of course, I have a knower body and also no recollection of my previous births and deaths. But still, I have noticed some parallels, such as the pain, the fear, the joy, the atmosphere of expectancy, the sense of loss and gain, also the labor, the sheer hard work, the feeling of being trapped, of wanting to end it, of losing it, and then refocusing one's energies and will on the business at hand, delivering one's baby or one's soul or self. And when the dreadful moment of birth or death arrives, how all present rush to crowd closely around. And perhaps above all, how although birth and death are most ordinary and commonplace, they are also incredibly extraordinary. I pay my obeisances repeatedly to Brajalila and to Lord Krishna's divine energy, Maya Devi, because although I have been granted the vivid experience of seeing Brajalila living, dying and dead, and her charred bones crumbling into the flames, and although I know the very same will happen to me, I cannot imagine it. My mind seems to turn away from the very idea. As Maharaj Yudhisthira said, such illusion is indeed the most strangely wonderful thing in this world. So now I'll just conclude by reading a little bit from Brajalila's diary so you can appreciate who she was. This begins before she went to Vrindavan, July 22nd, 1993. Yesterday, someone brought me a flower petal from a Kalpa Vriksha tree in Vrindavan. Such a desire tree is capable of fulfilling one's sincere desires, and from that petal, which is non-different in potency, I got a chance to make a request. Since being informed of my inevitable death due to my disease, I've had the wish to go to Vrindavan and leave my body there. I was desperately hoping that one day I would get a petal from the Kalpa Vriksha tree so that I could ask for my desire to be fulfilled. But now there are other kinds of thoughts coming to my mind. I am thinking about the service which my spiritual master has given me. He wants me to become a pure devotee and go back to the spiritual world after leaving this body. He wants me to share my realizations as I get closer to the point of death. He instructed me to become a perfect example for others, which I will be able to accomplish only by getting into the fast lane and accelerating in my Krishna consciousness. Then, after my sincere appeals to Lord Krishna, he will give me mercy, which I will be able to share before leaving my body. I am fixed in this desire because it is a service which I can do for my Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. They are waiting for me to do this service, and the only way I can please them is by doing it. Now I have to place the lotus feet of my spiritual master and Lord Krishna in my heart, and then the holy Vrindavan Dham personified will enter there also. In this way, I will never lose the pure love and devotion brought into my heart by the lotus feet of my spiritual master. That goal can be achieved only by pleasing him. That is why I am so anxious to fulfill his order. It was he who told me the time will come when I will turn into the passing lane and move ahead at full speed. He said, you will find yourself far beyond many of us by getting Lord Krishna's mercy at that time. But it is not only my goal, it is not my goal to pass anyone or to be transferred to the spiritual world. At least I am struggling against such a mentality. I wish that I was already driving in that lane, fixing that desire, because it is a service which my Guru Maharaj has asked of me, and I want to please him. I know it will be extremely difficult to drive in that passing lane, for I'll be forced to leave behind all material hopes. But I'll accept those difficulties because I have faith that my Guru Maharaj will never leave me alone. He will definitely help me because he himself gave me this service. So appealing to the Kalpa Vriksha tree, I ask, please let me fulfill the order of my spiritual master. I am so eager to place the lotus feet of my Guru Maharaj in my heart. By pleasing Srila Gurudev, I'll also give Krishna pleasure. Then, maybe one day, they will allow me to roll in the dust of Radhakund and Sri Vrindavan Dham. Let the desire to achieve perfection be present in my heart alongside the desire to fulfill Gurudev's order. Please give me the strength to manage with my service to him. Let this desire be ever strong. July 24th. My dear Srila Gurudev, my dear Lord Krishna, please, I beg your forgiveness. I am so foolish in my dealings with you both. It is so painful to admit that while calling myself a devotee of yours, I still keep my own selfish interests. Looking ahead, trying to achieve the highest goal, I can see that practically speaking my chances are quite miserable. Nonetheless, I feel your guidance with me always. Shri Gurudev, once you told me that a job which takes 1 year can be done in 7 days by someone who is enthusiastic. But my heart is so dirty, I cannot imagine, I cannot manage it within 7 days. I'm begging for your mercy to be able to do it as soon as possible. In my thoughts, Shri Gurudev speaks to me. I know for you it seems practically impossible, but I have faith that you can do it. Beg sincerely for Lord Krishna's mercy, and you'll understand how to go on with your service. Just chant, 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 and keep begging for the same. Chant and open your heart to Krishna's mercy. O Lord Krishna, you are so kind. What I am doing now is simply a one-sided outpouring, but how badly I want to serve you. Please teach me. I hope that one day I will really be able to glorify you by chanting your holy names and will offer to you a pure, sincere prayer. But now I am so miserable. In my thoughts, Shri Gurudev speaks to me. Just go on with your practice. Where is your chanting? Go on. Just follow the process. Dedicate yourself completely to the chanting. Try it. The last time he didn't say try, but do it. This morning the kirtan at the temple was not very inspiring. It was enough to cause me to lose inspiration in my chanting. Actually, Krishna was testing me. He wants me to see the pure vibration through chanting. He wants me to hear Śrīla Prabhupāda's teaching within the most simple classes. I could not hear the holy name today only because of my impurity and anarthas. O Lord Krishna, O Śrīla Gurudev, when will that day come when I will be able to appreciate your mercy? July 27th. Today I am again begging for my heart's desire to be fulfilled, to follow my Guru's order. It seems to me that only an extreme situation like serious disease or death makes us fully surrender to the Lord. I can see myself that if one is inattentive and lazy, Krishna will kindly provide such difficulties for him. In this sense, I realize that the test of living is much heavier than the test of dying. If I am not conscious of my fatal disease and forget my full dependence on the Lord, I become lazy and do not pray for Krishna's mercy and shelter. Then Maya takes up her work. You are a rascal. You have turned away from your master. Let me defeat you. But I don't want to be forced to surrender to Krishna because I'm going to die. I want to be surrendered before that. Dear to me. I really desire this, to make Lord Krishna and Śrīla Gurudev my dearest friends, to glorify the mercy which they have given to me, to thank them from my heart. I know how difficult it is to be conscious every day of my shortcomings, the dust in my heart, and to always keep in mind how miserable I am. I am so weak, I may not make it. I pray that I will never come to the point of complaining that you, Śrīla Gurudev, are not attentive to me, or you forget about me, or other foolish thoughts like that. O dear Śrīla Gurudev, my only wish is to constantly water the seed of our spiritual relationship and carefully remove the weeds of offenses. My connection with you gives me life. November 14th. We have arrived in the Holy Dham. O Lord Krishna, it seems as though I am back home after a long, long time. Being here, things slowly become familiar again. My heart's wish is to develop attachment to Krishna, which may someday turn into love by the grace of Śrīla Gurudev. My dear Lord Krishna, here in Vrindavan you are always present. Here is your home. I do not want to appear as a guest in your house. Please accept me as your own. Let me surrender unto you and approach you prayerfully. Please give me the strength to appeal to you with love, because I am completely unqualified to do it. I am so dirty. Be merciful. I need so much to be in your presence. In my prayers, I wish to glorify you, remaining at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. November 20th. Many days have passed. Everything has been changing so quickly. I am here catching drops of nectar from a great ocean of mercy. On November 16th, we celebrated Śrīla Prabhupāda's disappearance day. Because of the presence of his disciples, I could feel the presence of Śrīla Prabhupāda. I realize now how Śrīla Gurudev took the instructions of Śrīla Prabhupāda into his heart and how he fulfills his order in practice. Śrīla Prabhupāda always helps my spiritual master. Indeed, my spiritual master is always with him. At 7:20 p.m., the time when Prabhupāda left this planet, a few sannyasis, his disciples, swiftly appeared in the samadhi, circumambulated the murti of Śrīla Prabhupāda, and left to his house. I also went there. The house was packed up with Srila Prabhupada's disciples. By watching them, I could feel the presence of their spiritual master. We were having the same kirtan as if it was 16 years ago. I saw one Mataji, a Prabhupada disciple, who takes care of his house, crying. I saw Govindaswamy. He was at Prabhupada's bedside, holding his danda with crossed hands and leaning his forehead against his danda. First he began the kirtan, then someone else continued. Srila Prabhupada has gone, but at the same time remains forever in the hearts of his disciples. I was also thinking that on this day he is coming into our hearts also, if we stay close to the lotus feet of his disciples, our spiritual masters, in the association of other devotees. January 11th. Dear Srila Gurudev, please excuse me for taking your attention. You are so far away now, but I want to become closer and closer to your lotus feet. Here in Vrindavan, I find so many personalities who are carrying your mercy to me. By associating with them, by getting closer to them, I get closer to you. I hear from them, and my inspiration to serve you becomes stronger and stronger. O Gurudev, I know I am not pure and that I am quite foolish, but let me somehow serve these exalted Vaishnavas, because by doing so, I get closer to you. Let me know what I can do for them. I want to thank you very much for kindly allowing me to stay in Vrindavan. I wish to stay here for the rest of my life and learn how to serve you and become purified. I desire to become qualified to enter Vrindavan in the spiritual sky. My dear spiritual master, I bow down to your lotus feet with the greatest respect, again and again. Rajalila Devi Dasi Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.